for whatever reason, I feel like I've been wanting you all my life. You don't understand. I'm so glad we're at the same place at the same time.
Guys, you are listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast, where we have fun at taking pop music seriously. This is part two of our journey celebrating the Britney album. If you haven't listened to part one yet, you've missed Save For You and the album highlights. What are you doing? Go and listen to it now. But we are going to dive in and continue celebrating this incredible album. We're now going to pick things up at the end of 2001. If you love what we're doing, hit that subscribe button and tell a pop loving friend. But without further ado, let's jump right back into it, Davo. So, at November 2001, Britney kicks off leg one of her Dream Within a Dream tour, David. Now, that took her from November to December 2001. A DVD was released in Jan 2002. Just missed those crazy sales. And then there would be leg two later in the year.
This Dream Within a Dream tour is clearly very special to Britney and obviously to the fans as well. It's a really huge tour. We're not going to try and shoehorn it into these episodes where we're celebrating the album era. I think we're going to have to pick that up another time, but...
Oh, absolutely. I had that on DVD on repeat, David, growing up, so we cannot just do it as a throwaway sentence.
No, we can't just do it as a throwaway moment.
But we have overprotected December 2001 for the international markets, and then... I think about April 2002 with the Dark Child remix for America.
Oh my God. It's so interesting going back at this time and just seeing like how things were rolled out. Because obviously, you know, I grew up in Australia, you were here in the UK. We would have received it when we received it without a general wider context of how campaigns were happening across the globe. You know, as pop fans, we're not what we are today where... everything's on social media and we could like, you know, it's almost one kind of global movement with releases and fans are talking to each other across the globe. At this time, we're still, you know, everything is quite segmented by different territories.
Action! Say hello to the girl that I am. You're gonna have to see through my perspective.
JB, I'm going to start with the artwork here. I do actually have this CD single.
So you should.
It's been on the shelves. It's been on display. This pic, this black and white pose of Britney, the pose, the dark eyeliner, her staring straight at the camera, I think it's the most present-day Britney reminiscing shot that we get. You know, this is the Britney we see on her Instagram when she's having a little dance.
Yeah, there she is.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? All those years. And then it's like, this is the Britney.
I love to see it.
This is Britney. Yeah.
There's a lot of that with everything. Like people say, oh, okay, well, there's this and I'm that. And I'm like, yeah, but have you watched kind of like Britney be in the moment in old footage? Like she loves to spin. She loves to dance in a certain way. And like all we can do is really hope that she is just having a good time.
Exactly. And she absolutely deserves that. And she can do whatever the fuck she wants.
Absolutely. Do you think Slave For You as a song and video and the concept we had it, do you think that had to be like first single or it wouldn't get released as a single?
It is exactly that kind of thinking, you know. We see that with a lot of artists where they have like a track that is like so left of center. It's not necessarily indicative of the whole album. You need to be first. Yeah.
Like Overprotected is quite a good follow-up in a way of tapping into like any quote-unquote backlash. And it's, classic Britney sounding.
You know, where there was so much of the press narrative about her becoming sexier and embracing her sexuality. I think that language is more something we would use today, but back then they weren't as receptive to Britney in the Slave For You era, embracing her sexuality, let's just say. I mean, it's kind of similar to in the vein to Slave For You, right? Mm. It's her basically saying like, let me be me. I'm growing up. I don't want to be so overprotected. I want to be seen. I want to be heard. So again, it's that kind of Britney asserting her independence and her womanhood, her young womanhood. So we've got Max Martin, we've got Rami Yacoub back in the picture, but also Dark Child on the additional production. And also we get a Dark Child remix, which is the one that I didn't know this. That was the main version they were pushing in America.
To me, I prefer the original version, but I think the remix video is better. What about you, Devo?
I think I'm likely to agree with you there. I haven't sat with the Dark Child remix of Overprotected as much, so it still feels a little different to me. But yeah, I do love that video. The remix video is better, like no shade to, you know, the original.
No. So let's talk about the original video quickly. So this music video was directed by Billy Woodruff and choreographed by Brian Friedman. And it shows our Brit dancing inside an abandoned factory. Love.
Love.
So it begins with Britney stepping out and through the paparazzi in a like denim and sunglasses look.
Now, this is the most Y2K pop star look ever, isn't it? You can tell it's like custom. The top, the bottom, they match. The tinted shades.
It isn't just Y2K, it's Y2OK. Let's go. So she drives in a car while there's an instrumental version of Bombastic Love playing. I love a bit of album crossover.
I was wondering where I know that sound from. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. I just want to go back to the director bit.
Mm.
I think it's interesting that Billy is the one called to do this version. He directed Born to Make You Happy.
Mm.
Don't you think those quote-unquote innocent kind of poses that she has in this video, where she's on the wooden, the carousel horse, you know, those portraits of Britney when she's singing straight to the camera and looking a bit innocent.
Mm.
Maybe that was kind of deliberate. Like, let's get Billy, who works with her early in the career, to kind of frame her in this way, in this image of how people wanted to see Britney.
So, yeah, very interesting way to look at it, David. This video, yeah, goes on to show Britney dancing around this warehouse on her own, as she should. Like, that's what we do when we're alone in a warehouse. And then at 1 minute 40, the dancers sneak in.
Now, this bit is the most like, musical theatre-y bit, where they're like, kind of, duh, duh, duh,
duh, duh. Come on, come on, what are you doing, Brit?
They're kind of tiptoeing in. It is so...
Panto
vibes. And they're kind of joshing around with her. It's like, what are you doing, you silly cow? What are you dancing by yourself? Come on, dance with us. And then they break into an ensemble routine together.
Yeah. Big group dance in the warehouse. And then one of the last sort of shot sequences we get in the video is Britney in a room where the walls are caving in and out.
Ah.
And it's got Britney posters and headlines.
It is so symbolic of her being trapped by her image and her celebrity.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite part of the video?
Opening look. Because, you know, that is like pop star.
Y2K, yeah.
And then chaise lounge, because I love like any kind of sort of chair or chair adjacent moment. Do you have a favourite shot?
JB, I have a favourite part that is tied in with the choreography.
Mm.
The dance breakdown of this original version with a popping choreo. Doom, 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 doom. I don't need nobody telling me just what I wanna.
All right, shall we talk about the second video, the Dark Child remix? So this remix version is directed by legend Chris Applebaum. So it intros with a newscast talking about, you know, Britney's sort of, it doesn't say new scandal, but it's something along those lines.
Plummeted to new depths of depravity when she appeared at an awards show wearing, well, hardly anything. When asked to comment on her half-naked...
I need me. 4, 3, 2, 1. Say hello,
I was watching it thinking, this is kind of teasing like the sort of Britney videos we're going to see in the next two album cycles.
With a bit of a news anchor kind of vibe.
Yeah. Like, especially like Piece of Me and If You See Kami and
yeah,
touching into that.
I mean, you're right. This is the first time in Britney's career where the media is centering themselves in the narrative of her music, her career, her storytelling. And I don't blame her because guess what? Her level of celebrity at this point was inescapable. And I also love that she kind of switches off the TV. She's in this fancy hotel suite with her girlfriends. And then she comes back out in like that outfit. It's like, yeah. And what?
Yeah. I absolutely love the outfits in this one. So we have a blue long sleeve crop top, pink bra, pink mini skirt and boots. That is like a really strong casual look. Pop into church.
Church? I want to go to whatever church you're going to.
No, that is like fun pop star going out outfit. And then an outfit of all outfits, pink long sleeves, pink leather chaps over jeans.
Need. Yeah.
Need. Like, she was at the Pink Pony Club long before anyone else was.
Al Britney directly referenced Janet Jackson's Son of a Gun video for this video. It was shot in the same hotel.
That is a reference and a half for you.
Definitely. And when she and the girls were strutting down that lobby or whatever it is, like, it is so reminiscent of that Janet video.
And another shot I absolutely love in this, which I think is so genius, they're in a car and then it turns into a stretch limo that's also sort of like a club.
I remember seeing it for the first time. I was like, shook. How do I get a car like that?
And then in an absolute rite of passage pop star moment, we end with a big sequence in the rain, a big dance sequence. Now, this is a pop star music video.
There was a story that came out a couple of years ago around this video shoot where Chris, the director, said that at some point in this video shoot, Britney, maybe in between looks, changing, whatever, gets a text from Justin Timberlake. He breaks up with her over text. She shows him the text on her flip phone. But then he says to her, you know, you can channel all that into the dance, like show him what is missing. 15 minutes later, Britney comes out of the trailer, changed into the new look, glammed, ready to go. And she delivers a fiery dance performance. Now, I wonder if it's the one that we see in the rain. Because that was extra spicy. There was something about the way she was moving.
And I think about the routine in this is that it is one you can really let it all out into.
Yeah.
It was genius from Chris to say channel it into the routine, because what a way to let it all out. In America, the Dark Child remix peaked at 86 on the US Billboard Hot 100 and 37 on the US Pop Airplay. So, not brilliant, but the album is doing huge, and I think everything around it is doing huge. It just doesn't necessarily end up in like high chart stats. But here in the UK, the original version peaked at number 4. Number 5 in Romania, thank you, Seb. Number 1 in Poland. 3 in Italy, thank you, Alberto. Got wonders in these global charts. 9 in Ireland, 6 in Greece. 22 for the Dark Child remix in Canada. And then original version, 16 in Australia. Now, David, what were you thinking? Was it a busy, crazy charts or what?
It probably was, yeah. We're all waiting for Crossroads, or we bought the album, yeah.
It is interesting that if you look at this single release for global, non-America, global, everyone else, it's pre-Crossroads, and then US, it's post-Crossroads.
Mm.
All right, David, now let's move on to Jan to April, depending on territory, with the next single, I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman. Now, this song is a song that was definitely written specifically for the inclusion in Crossroads, Make the Journey, the debut feature film from Britney Jean Spears.
Oh, is that the full name of the movie?
Crossroads? The tagline is Make the Journey.
Ah, I did not know that. Okay. Mm. I mean, it's so intentional that the artwork is literally, it looks like just scenes from Britney's character.
Montage of Lucy.
And literally on the cover, it says, featured in the movie Crossroads and on the new album, Britney. Get that plug.
You can tell in the meeting, they were like, now, how are we going to let people know that this is in the new movie, but it's on the album? They went, the writing is going to go full from left to right on the artwork. We're going to use the Crossroads logo. We're going to use the Britney logo. We are giving it to them on a plate.
Yeah, that graphic designer spent all of 15 minutes on this.
David.
Okay, 20 minutes.
This song, yeah, is written by Max Martin and Rami with additional writing from Dido. Now, I'm just going to say here and now, I'm sorry, Dido. I take everything back that I've ever said.
Literally, there is a lifetime ban on Dido on this podcast. Not from me. I like a bit of life for rent. But the JB is, you know,
I will go down with that ship. But not anymore.
No, thank you, Dido.
Front and center of this Diane Club.
I was so shocked when word got out that Dido co-wrote this. Because obviously she was already huge at this time, but you just could not imagine her singing a song like this ever.
I'm not a girl and I'm not yet a woman. I'm sorry, but I think that's so funny.
I love it. I love your taking of... I mean, this is the most Dido we'll ever hear on the podcast. And we're entering our seventh year, and this is the Dido debut. Yeah.
Do you think Dido recorded a demo? I can't hear her doing it.
I can't hear her doing it either. She must have, like, sung a little bit of it in the studio, you know, when she's doing it. But... get that check, girl. Get that check.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, David, I think this is such a beautiful song. Again, another one, not to just be boring and repetitive, but another one I absolutely love to sing along to. And I will say it is my mum's favourite Britney song.
Is it? That's sweet.
And sometimes, because she thinks they're the same song, but she loves both.
Sweet. Guess what? Great taste. Both songs have great tunes, great melodies. Yeah. And I would say both songs, maybe this one more than the other, this has got a very evergreen kind of quality to it. It's great classic pop songwriting, but also like every generation that comes through is going to be able to relate to this song.
Yeah. The lyric, The Woman in Me, was then used as Britney's memoir titled recently.
Is that the nod to it? Because I was going to say that's actually my favorite part of the song when it builds that final chorus. I'm not a girl, I'm not a girl, don't tell me what to believe. I'm just trying to find the woman in me, yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. That bit is just so like, come on, Britney, yes.
When you said, what church am I going to, David? That's the church.
The Dido church.
Whoa.
Well, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's not go that far.
The woman in me church. But yeah, incredible, beautiful song. Obviously, this really is the like the theme tune to Crossroads. And if you don't know it, and again, we're not going to talk about Crossroads because it was such a big moment And maybe we'll get to it one day. But the whole story of Crossroads is this is basically a song the main character played by Britney has written.
Oh.
Lucy writes poems in her diary. And then she meets a gorgeous boy and he says, hey, I put some music to your poems. Would you mind?
Okay.
And then they create this beautiful song together.
A bit Coyote Ugly and Glitter.
David.
And Burlesque.
Well, this was many years before Burlesque. There are beats these films have to hit. But you know that both Britney and Jessica Simpson auditioned for Coyote Ugly.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Fun.
Which makes sense when you watch it, that that really would be a great pop star vehicle.
Mm.
Anyway, back to this. So this had a beautiful music video accompanying with it, directed by Wayne Isham, and it was shot out in Arizona on location using no green screens.
It's really hard to believe when you watch this, guys. Like, it literally looks like an Apple wallpaper. Like, this is one of the most gorgeous National Geographic style music videos we have ever seen. Like, this is truly wonders of the world. And Britney, she's also a wonder of the world.
So Britney shot these shots on a cliff with like no safety harness or anything. And she's quite close on the edge of some of these shots. I just thought, no.
Sod that.
Absolutely sod that. I think no shot is worth it. As beautiful as it is, and I'm glad we've got it.
I would be like, how about that cliff that's like lower and closer to the ground without a really big drop? I know that there were different edits of this video with scenes from Crossroads, right?
So I came across three different versions. First version on Brit's official channel is all cliff shots, no Crossroads, and no other secondary shots. Then a next alternative I saw was all cliff shots plus driving shots plus campfire shots.
These are from the movie, yeah.
Nods to, yeah. Nods to, but not...
Oh, wait.
It's
not Lucy. It's actually Britney.
It's not Lucy. It's Britney.
Oh.
She's not playing herself. She's playing herself. So this is all new music video shots, David. Britney as Britney in the music video. We've got the cliff, we've got driving, we've got campfire, and we've got a red hotel room. Now, these are nods to Crossroads, but they're new for the music video. All the same shoot.
It's kind of like Britney is retracing the steps of the character Lucy. Yeah.
And then, last but not least, we have what I just said with clips from Crossroads. Now, I am saying this wholeheartedly, honestly. I'm not saying it with a smidge of irony in my voice. I think this should have had a Golden Globe and an Oscar nomination for Best Original Song.
It's a great song. Yeah, it's a classic.
Dido deserved the Oscar.
This is the only time Joel Babington will be saying something like this on a podcast.
B-sides for this, we had I Run Away, which we spoke about in part one. That is from the POV of the man. And yeah, Kim Cattrall. Where's Kim's version?
Where's Kim's version of I Run Away? Yeah, that's what we needed.
But now, David, not only is this a stunning recorded vocal from Britney, but we've had some amazing live performances of this.
Mm.
Most notably, the American Music Awards 2002 opened with a clip from Crossroads. Get that promo. Then it cuts to Britney on stage, standing in a replica of the film set.
Wow.
And then it's Al Britt giving a beautiful live vocal. And then for like the last bit, when she's going to go and, you know, bring us to the church of Britney Jean Spears, the backing singers come out.
Yeah.
And they're singing around the piano.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely beautiful.
I have never seen this performance before until today. And I was so impressed with the way they tied in Crossroads. Let's talk about the dress that she wears in that performance. gorgeous flesh tone dress that is like so beautifully and delicately fitted and draped around her body. Again, at this time, Britney and a lot of these Y2K pop girlies love a bit of frilly bits coming off the dress.
Imagine on the phone, Britney, we've got a great dress for you. Great. Does it have frilly bits?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get more frilly bits on for you, Brit. Don't worry.
But also, like, in this performance, it's so strange that the camera keeps cutting to NSYNC and Justin Timberlake in the audience watching.
And I know he stood up in the end, which is sweet, but it was, like, quite attention-seeking, I thought. Like, it wasn't a respectful stand-up. It was, like, an annoying schoolboy standing up, cheering his girlfriend.
It was definitely an annoying schoolboy move, because he jumps up and starts, like, throwing his arms in the air like his football team just scored a goal.
And you are in the music world. You know what's, like, appropriate.
And that kind of laddish kind of, like, throwing your arms up in the air is, like, stop it.
And then also on the Oprah Winfrey show that you'd spoken about before, David, there's a more intimate version of this and another stunning live vocal from our Brit.
Yes. Now, I would say, I don't know what was going on with the American Music Awards performance. Maybe Britney was a little bit nervous and lots of going on. She was a bit pitchy in parts there. But the Oprah performance, the vocal riffs and runs here, she threw in a few extra bits, you know?
I mean, I don't agree with you on the first statement, but on the second bit, yeah, she definitely was really comfortable or came across really comfortable.
And also, I love the surprise message from Kim Cattrall. You are a diva. You're a beautiful young diva. I'm like, this sounds familiar.
Brit's a young diva. She's feeling good from her head to her toes.
Oh, Kim's been listening to Right Back At You.
Yeah. She got in the time machine, went to the future, listened to Right Back At You, and then got right back.
And told Britney she was a young diva.
Yeah. Brilliant. So while it didn't get the Oscar nom that it should have, it did win a Golden Raspberry for Worst Original Song.
Not deserved.
But the Razzies are, like, iconic in their own right. Not absolutely not deserved, but I would take it and display it proudly if I had a Razzie.
No, that would never make the press release. That would not make the bio.
Look, some people, Halle Berry went and accepted her Razzie in person and she brought her Oscar with her. Like, that's a flex.
Oh, that's how you do it. Just to remind the folks back home. It's like, I'm playing with you here, but I also am an Oscar
Sandra
winner.
Bullock went and accepted hers with a wheelbarrow of DVDs of the film she won for to give out to people.
That is camp.
Funny. All right. So this, David, number two UK smash hit, number one on the UK indie charts.
Now, this is the highest charting single from this album in the UK for our Britney. That's incredible. I mean, incredible full stop that she's had three top five hits from this album already.
But it wasn't just my mum loving it, all of the UK.
All of it, yeah. Yeah, thank you, Wendy. highest new entry that week, definitely. Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah. Number seven in Australia, four in the Czech Republic, two on the European Hot 100 singles, 10 in Germany, six in Hungary, three in Ireland, two in Scotland, 16 in Spain. And then this is quite shocking. It went in at number two on the US bubbling under Hot 100 singles.
Yeah, which means you're 102. I'm very confused because I'm like, how does that happen for a big soundtrack moment where Britney's doing all this promo? Is it because people can't buy it as a single? Are people, like, just consuming it from the Britney album? Is it contributing to sales there?
They were consuming the album. They were consuming the movie.
We need a Britney to come in with a wheelbarrow of the Australian and UK edition CD singles at the cinema theatres and be like, hey, it's available in physical copy too, if you want the CD.
Yeah. So we then move on in the year During this time, February 2002, Crossroads was released in cinemas, and then April till July of 2002, leg two of the Dream Within a Dream tour kicked off, which is interesting because you could have already bought it on DVD by then. The original Taylor Swift eras. You go and see it in the cinema before you go and see the concert.
So is this the HBO and
the HBO special was then on DVD, yeah.
So this first leg of the tour where she was doing a show in Vegas, that was broadcast live on HBO, is that right?
Yeah.
And then that very concert was also filmed for a DVD release. And that's the one that actually a lot of us recognize the imagery for, where it's Britney in that kind of Elvis style costume, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, very interesting because, yeah, we did have that DVD in Australia, but she also wasn't touring Australia, so we'll just get the DVD.
It wasn't a world tour, unfortunately, which is cutting. But Britney was booked and busy, as we know from this episode.
Yeah.
So during all that time, May 2002, we have I Love Rock and Roll.
Yes, a cover that is part of the Britney album, but also has a very significant point in Crossroads.
It does indeed. Now, this was my absolute jam. I was a little boy, sat watching Crossroads at the cinema. Britney sings it in karaoke in the film, and I was like, my jaw was on the floor. Rushed back, listened to the Britney album, had it on repeat, rocking out.
Was it more special having seen it as part of the movie?
Like, I want to listen to that song that Britney sang in the karaoke scene in the film. I saw him dancing there by the record machine. I knew he must have been about 17. The beat was going strong. Play my favorite song. Were you aware of this song? I think I was kind of vaguely aware of the song. Like, the melody was familiar to me. Not that I listened to the Joan Jett version or anything, but I think I knew that it was a cover, but I hadn't heard the original. I was in year 8 when this song came out, or year 7, I can't remember. And I wanted to sing this in the school talent show. Bearing in mind, this is Essex, where it is not, like, a good thing to be different. And I wasn't like a naturally gifted singer as a child, should we say. So I submitted myself. I wanted to sing it. I wanted to be like Britney.
Like just on your knees on the ground.
I wanted to be like Lucy in the karaoke scene. And then I got picked for the talent show and I removed myself because I got too embarrassed.
Oh no.
I would never do that now, but this is a reason why you should never let your children feel shame for who they are.
Yeah, and just go for it, you know?
You should encourage them. If they want to be like Britney, let them be like Britney.
Let them enjoy it, you know? What a shame. Well, JB, next time round to Rita's.
Hey, is this thing on?
Ah! down.
Who's ready to get rocky? Yeah, not only was it prominent in the movie Crossroads, we did get a brand new music video for it, not showing Crossroads footage, anything like that. So this video was directed by Chris Applebaum again, and it shows Britney with a band, speakers, in kind of like a one sort of like red studio situation.
I love this kind of very editorial, glossy rock performance video. It's Britney in a black midriff, black leather trousers. There's something very just classic 80s vibe about it. The wind machine's going, she's thrashing around her hair. She's smashing a guitar against the speakers, confetti coming out. Also, I forgot about this. That scene with her writhing on top of the motorbike with a leather hat.
Wow.
How am I not thinking about that more? That was incredible.
That's another thing that should be referenced more. Absolutely.
Exactly. Wow.
So then, yeah, Britney performed it on the tour at the time. And then it kind of disappeared from, like, Britney's live set lists until 2016, when she brought it into a revamped set list of her Vegas residency. And also at the 2016 Billboard Music Awards, the song was performed as part of a medley. That was so exciting. Let's talk about charts for this. So yes, David, while you say it did well in Australia, it peaked at number 13. But you know, by this time is what, a fourth single?
Not bad. It's fourth single for Britney from this album, yeah.
32 in Canada, 8 in Croatia, 24 on the European Hot 100 singles, 7 in Germany, 6 in Hungary, 8 in Ireland, 7 in Scotland. David, do you know what I'm shocked by? 13 here in the UK.
Around this time, I don't know how I was aware of it. Magic of the internet, I guess. But I was aware that Anticipating was also a single that was happening at the same time. I somehow, with my limited internet access, heard that Anticipating was the single that was being serviced in other territories. I had massive FOMO in Australia thinking, why the fuck were we given I Love Rock and Roll, something that's going to pander to the basic people that listen to like the Today FM or whatever, when we could have had the fun Hun anthem, Anticipating. I was furious. Me coming back from that trip in Malaysia where I heard it in the Toyota advert, I was like, see, that's what they're having. Why can't we have anything nice in this country?
So then, David, summer of that year, it's the World Cup.
Oh, speaking of straight rights, yeah.
Welcome to Right Back At You, the football podcast, lads, where we have fun breaking down the great game, the beautiful game. So Britney still had her Pepsi deal going strong. Next advert, right now, Taste the Victory.
Oh, okay. I see the reference to the World Cup. Yep.
New original football song, the original Waka Waka.
Written by Josh and Brian again, right? That we mentioned from the last episode that did a lot of songs for her.
Yeah. Steve Lunt's got a writing credit on this as well, I believe.
Oh, get in there, Steve. Go on.
Come on, Steve. Have a go. And then, yeah, real rushed thing, getting it out for footy season. Share the dream. It's Britney kind of on like a white background in a soccer outfit doing soccer skills.
Are you allowed to say that culturally? Because we're in the UK, you can say football.
Oh, okay. But I was speaking from Britney's POV.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yep, yep. I just don't want to be culturally insensitive to our core listeners. Yep.
Right. Summers have done football related jobs, David.
Have you, as you said to me once on this podcast years ago, have you had that lived experience?
I played a Blink and You'll Miss It referee in a kids' TV show.
I remember seeing that, yes.
So
some of us have that lived experience.
So she was learning these soccer moves, these football moves, and then there are these other players, including David Beckham, interwoven in the advert.
Oh, okay. Early days of David Beckham getting into the Pepsi deal, probably. Yeah. Get that cash.
So, yeah, like, you know, just so much going on. And speaking of so much going on, let's go to June of that year, the final global single and US single of the album. And then, yes, Anticipating's in France, but we've covered that, everyone. Final single of the campaign, Boys. Boys, sometimes a girl just needs boys, I love it and to hold the way you move. Boys, when a girl is with one. Boys, then cheated. I actually have this on CD single, and I deliberately went out to get this one because it was different from the album version. The co-ed remix.
The co-ed remix featuring Pharrell was the single edit. This was originally recorded by Janet Jackson, but she didn't release it. So it was part of that kind of movement of songs that NERD had for Janet. I would say, Joel, I don't know if you agree, this is a very underrated Britney single.
I think Boys is one of the most highlighted in her...
Is it?
...discography.
Is it?
It's kind of like Never Not In at all.
I don't hear enough people talking about it, but that could just be me, you know.
The problem is with me, I'm always talking and thinking about the entire discography. So it's a bit tricky to know what other people... I would say Boys is really high up there, but I don't necessarily live in the real world, so I am happy to be told otherwise.
Well, you know, I feel like the locals are talking about other singles, Toxic. You know,
that's the local.
Give Me More. But... Yeah, but the locals aren't talking about Boys, which is what I'm saying. Like,
I would say this is the second biggest single on the album after Slave.
It's not bigger than Overprotected.
No. God, this is so good. All of it's so good.
Overprotected had the cultural impact. I think this was wrapped up in the Austin Powers gold member world. So we kind of appreciate it as like a different soundtrack moment.
She also appears in the film.
Oh, yeah. So the film version of Boys, where she does this song, is the album version.
I do love the bit on the album track, though, that we don't have on the...
The bridge, yeah. The verse, da, where she sings. Da, 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 da. Let's fly into the night. I'm boy tonight is us. It's just me. Keep loving me. Make sure you hold me tight. Let's head for the stars. The only thing I don't like about the original is that it feels very simplistic. The woozy synths. Womp, womp.
I really like the album version. Womp. I think the album version is really good. But I do think the Coed remix, like, levels it up, whereas the Dark Child remix of Overprotected didn't necessarily do that for me.
Yeah, I agree. Shall we talk about the music video? I don't know what it is. In my mind, this video and the My Prerogative video...
David, I was just about to say that.
I feel like they're in the same universe.
They are. It's that dark lighting.
That kind of dark lighting in like a big mansion, and Britney's like having a moment, and it's like, it's extravagant in large mansion.
This is like, not in an age way, but this is like even more grown up Britney than Slave For You. This is, if Slave For You was Britney stepping into the club, literally, this is like Britney in like her extravagant house party, dinner party era.
I mean, again, we're getting this narrative with Britney videos in this album era where it's like fan intrusions, the fame, you know, at the beginning, there's this like Chance that's trying to get into her private house party being like, I'm on the list. I love these 2000s videos where it's like a massive house party in a mansion.
Yeah.
And you see these divas getting ready in the first verse, you know, they're getting glammed. Like Mariah's, it's like that.
Yes.
Similar storyline. And then they enter the party, you know, and you're following their journey through this party, through the song. And we've got that incredible scene where it's in the garden. They're having this huge dinner table.
Wavy hair.
Wavy hair looks so good. Mermaid hair on Britney looks so good. And then there's like zebras around. So this video is directed by Dave Myers, who also did the Lucky video. He knows how to do big scale Britney videos.
Yeah.
We get an Austin Powers cameo. Yeah. Why not? It's part of the soundtrack.
And Pharrell's here. He's got a feature on the song this time. And then I love the big dance sequence at this like black color palette nightclub. Like this already is feeling like almost stepping into In The Zone Britney.
It really does, especially stylistically. And the black suit, I guess, the black ensemble that she has.
Yeah, it's a bit Onyx Hotel-y.
It feels far from the styling of, say, Overprotected or I'm Not A Girl, Not Yet A Woman, you know? Now, we had some interesting live performances at this time. I guess in this period in early 2002, she was in Australia for the Crossroads premiere in Sydney, and she did something called the Pepsi chart show concert. And, you know, it's like kind of typical showcasey kind of concert event, right? Pepsi branded, but there's also Crossroads logo on stage. She does Slave. She does Boys, the album version. And I'm Not A Girl, Not Yet A Woman. So what a treat for our fans down under.
She also performed the song on CD UK. So we absolutely love that. And then she did perform this and some of the other singles we've spoken about today on Saturday Night Live. But Saturday Night Live performances are really hard to find.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Yeah.
They, NBC, are like, absolutely not. Because she's given us some amazing SNL performances. Honestly, like, this is such a flex to end your album cycle on this note. And I think she is prepping us to in the zone with that, especially with the remix and the music video and an unofficial gay anthem. And then also around this time, her and her new bestie, Austin Powers, managed to squeeze in another Pepsi advert for Pepsi Twist. Now, what I really liked about this one was that it let Britney do comedy and physical comedy that she's brilliant at.
Yeah, I mean, she even throws in a reference to Oops, I Did It Again in the dialogue, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's Austin trying to, like, take off her disguise, but she is Britney.
Actually, it's actual Britney, yeah. Hilarious. So, look, she's already done two huge production Pepsi commercials. She can just be in one look for this one. And yeah, do a bit of comedy, you know?
Because this is Pepsi Twist as well. It's not like...
And they do need to send us a case for the amount we've mentioned it on this episode.
And that's the joy of Pepsi, everyone. So charts, number 7 here in the UK, top 10 hit. Number 1 on the UK indie charts and number 2 on the UK hip-hop R&B charts. And then number 14... in Australia, but I'll let you have that, Davo. I mean, you went out to buy it, so...
I did. You can't even come for me, yeah.
And then really interestingly, Davo, it was 22 on the US Bubbling Under Hot 100 singles.
Rude.
And 32 on the US Pop Airplay. Very interesting. But look, it was a number one smash hit album in the US. 10 million copies worldwide.
Yeah. It just feels like a waste that this wasn't like a high rotation TRL hit, you know?
It may have been though. There are songs that you see that like do really well on TRL that don't necessarily chart that well.
For sure, yeah. Look, what a flex for our Britney. Shout out to Boys, the co-ed remix. That is a bit of me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. Britney, to round up the year, she did release Stages 3 Days in Mexico, a documentary DVD that they quietly released in the back of a Britney photo book. But fans have gone on to really love it. It's showing behind the scenes of the Dream Within a Dream tour. So much going on for our Brit of this time. Javid, do you know the biggest shocker to me was... A lot of this stuff I can really separate when we talk about dates and times, and even when we've spoken about the Spice Girls and other stuff, it's never made me feel old or the passage of time. But reliving this Britney one, I think because I can so vividly being like that young preteen at this time, I just felt like, fuck, suddenly really old. Like, we're not old, but, like, just that, like, realisation of, like, how long ago this was.
It is really astonishing, isn't it? When you start looking at promo and, like, just even technology with how stuff was being shared at the time, you're just like, damn, like, the kids don't even know how lucky they have it today.
Yeah, but we had it really lucky as well. We had the joy of Pepsi. We had Crossroads in cinemas. So, look, David, I've loved this so much. I think, do you know what's just brilliant?
That we're all young divas.
We are all young divas through and through. But where Britney has always been, like, number one for me since Baby One More Time, it's so nice to do this and, like, I never need that reminder, but like any opportunity to feel like you're seeing some of this stuff for the first eyes or in that more analytical way and really remind you like Britney is a once in a lifetime kind of star and superstar. And I'm so thankful and lucky that we lived through this. And God, she's incredible. And how dare anyone ever underrate her?
Incredible time. Listen, guys, we always love Britney. I've been looking forward to covering this era. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. I hope it's given you lots of flashbacks to your time with Britney in this era.
Absolutely. So, David, look, we've got to get it in the diary. You need to come over. We'll get out the Kylie wine and we will watch Crossroads and the Dream Within a Dream tour. You let me know when you are free.
I'm looking forward to it. Definitely.
I'll put on a Britney buffet for you. I don't know what that is, but we'll figure it out. All right, guys, you have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a lovely five-star review and tell a pop-loving friend. Email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at...
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time, enjoy the taste of Pepsi. Bye.
Bye.